estoy logrando olvidarte. Yeah. Dime quién más, si solo fui yo el que hizo mal. Ay, solo quiero follar, ya no quiero amor. Lo siento, me arrepiento de no decirte, baby, todo lo que siento. Intento, está contento, lo invento. Pasas en mi mente, mami, no lo niego. Lo siento, me arrepiento de no decirte, baby, todo lo que siento. Intento, estás contento, lo invento. Pasas en mi mente, mami, no lo niego. Si cambié fue por ti, fuiste tú que me hizo así. Ahora ni mil culos, mami, me hacen feliz. Mejor quédate ahí, bien lejito de mí. Que si te tengo aquí, hacemos taqui-taqui. Como Anuel y Aileen, nadie no quiere así. Ni estoy ni para la groupie que pagó el VIP. Chingate nací, desde que te perdí. No existe ni una baby que me haga venir. Te extraño, aunque sé que te hice daño. Sé que lo nuestro no es sano. Te deseo en todo mi cumpleaños Me estoy muriendo de no tenerte. No estoy logrando olvidarte. Fui yo el que hizo mal. Ay, solo quiero follar, ya no quiero amor. Lo siento, me arrepiento de no decirte, baby, todo lo que siento. Intento, está contento, lo invento. Pasas en mi mente, mami, no lo niego. Lo siento, me arrepiento de no decirte, baby, todo lo que siento. Intento, está contento, lo invento. Pasas en mi mente, mami, no lo niego. Te extraño, aunque sé que te hice daño. Sé que lo nuestro no es sano. Te deseo en todo mi cumpleaños. Te extraño, aunque sé que te hice daño. Sé que lo nuestro no es sano. Te deseo en todo mi cumpleaños.
Así es, esa relación es tóxica ahí, por tu culpa y mi culpa. Dímelo Rosy, dímelo Anto, Richie North on the mix, Dino Gang, pa' que sepan y entiendan.
Murmuró llorando las palabras que Relájate. Estás escuchando Banco El Hispano, por el 90.1.
Por el 90.1 FM. Bueno, y escuchamos algo de lo que nos están pidiendo, algo de JPLE desde Montreal con Te Extraño. Nos fuimos de ahí, desde Montreal hasta la Argentina, con los fabulosos Kaila, con Manuel Santillán el León y Mal Rebaño de Carca. Bueno, y seguimos aquí en el estudio con Joe King, este referee profesional que está causando sensación. Ay, welcome, thanks for being here, Joe.
Thank you.
I saw you not long ago, a few days, on the news. You were there.
I'm always on the news.
Well, I don't really watch the news,
right?
Always or never, but I see you, and I was like, oh, this, I was so proud, and I immediately trying to reach you and invite you to the show. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here. It's been a fun week. I'm also in the Georgia Street.
Yeah, Georgia Street.
That was crazy. Yeah, I opened up the paper. I'm like, oh, look at that. There I am, right?
looks familiar. That guy.
It's me.
Do you ever get hurt at work, and then you have to go to the hospital or have like medical attention?
Myself, no, I haven't hurt myself to the point where I've needed medical attention. There are things that happen in the ring where I do get hurt. It takes me a few minutes to kind of shake it off, but you know, I'm lucky, knock on wood, that I haven't actually gotten too hurt yet. So it's a before you're allowed into that wrestling ring, you definitely have to know what you're doing. You have to know how it works, how the wrestlers work as well. Yeah, because you don't want to be caught in the way. You don't want to get, you know, a move, and these two guys get fall on you or whatever. You always want to make sure that you're out of the way. So I do have a lot of training just to kind of make sure I know where to stand, where to be, where not to be.
Oh, great. So tell me more about this training. How you start training, or how do you decide, how do you become being a referee, decide to follow this risky, dangerous profession when you have to deal with
I don't know. Wrestling's always been, I've always loved wrestling. Like, you know me, we've been friends for like 12, 15 years now. And I've always watched wrestling. I've always been the biggest fan. And I kind of came down to my friends, they're wrestlers, and they're like, hey, come train with us, right? And my wife is just like, you have to do this. Like, this is what you've always wanted. So I went down and I started training with them, and I knew that there was a real need for referees in Vancouver. A few of them got taken up onto TV, a couple of them retired. A lot of referees, they like to become wrestlers as well. So there was a need. I was training like 40. Yeah, I was almost 40 at the time, and I was just like, I can't be doing the moves that these young guys are doing, these flips, and, you know, but I can referee. I know the rules. I know how a wrestling match is put together. So that's how I started. I just kind of trained to be a wrestler, and then just kind of started doing the refereeing stuff, and it's been amazing. It's been an amazing career so far.
And you, well, that is great that you start, like, have the chance to chase to get a dream for your childhood, and you are living the dream.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And making it through, you have like supporting friends, like, hey, yeah, come. And
it's all about the network that you build, you know, about having the right people in your life that are always encouraging you to do better and to be better. And, you know, I definitely had that in my life where I was able to kind of like, you know, step up and kind of really take control of those things. But it's definitely about the friends that are in your life.
Yeah, definitely. And let's say hi to one of those friends. I was hi to April.
Yeah, April O'Peel. Hey, how you doing?
She's one great person to support you and kind of.
Yeah, she's always pushed me. She saw something in me that I didn't really see myself at the time. And she's just always been there. Like, it's the moment I met her, I quit smoking. You know, within a couple of weeks, I quit smoking after I was smoking cigarettes for over 25 years. I no longer drink anymore. I'm eating healthy. I'm working out all the time. Yeah, it's been, she's been a total game changer in my life.
Yeah, you been doing great, and you gained some muscle weight. I remember you were kind of scared going to the gym, nice kid. But
I used to be a really scrawny guy. I was really out of shape. Yeah. You know, I had that beer belly. You know, everyone was going for their six pack. I was going for
that
the whole keg.
Sexy stay at home belly.
Right, the dad figure.
Yeah. And then you decide to start gaining weight, working out. Once you were in the ring, you feel like intimidated by those guys, so it's like, no, I need this, I feel great, or how do you...
Yeah,
it's part of the job, they tell you go and...
You definitely, there is a lot of, like, osmosis that goes with it, right? When you're around people that are being healthy and want better to live that better life for themselves, it definitely rubs off on you, and you want it for yourself.
Inspire you.
It definitely inspired me. So, like, I started training before the pandemic happened, and I was training, I was with a good group of people, and I was really enjoying it, and then the pandemic happened, and everything got shut down, and I kind of checked out for a year myself, just like everyone else, right? And at the end of 2020, I was like, hey, like, we're going to open up at any time, and when we open up, I want to make sure that I'm ready to be in that ring, to referee and to wrestle, whatever it is that they need. I just want to make sure that I'm ready, you know, and I just started working out every single day. And yeah, that's when I quit drinking altogether. And it's just been like every day, I just try to be a little bit better, you know, and I'm constantly comparing myself to myself. I don't compare myself to the other people. You know, it's when I'm feeling low or whatever, I look at how I was a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. Right. And I really appreciate the journey that I'm on. But yeah, that's what it all kind of started with, was just, you know, during the pandemic, I was like, hey, I need to be ready. And that's when I started working out. I started doing, you know, the whole Jodivation thing. Nice. And it's been a hell of a ride.
Joking Born.
Joking Referee. Yeah, check me out on all my socials. That's Joking Referee.
Joking Referee. Yeah, and it's like, it's amazing. I'm very happy to have you here in the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
I was going to ask you, so how is the lucha hearing in Canada? Some people, they were told me, oh, it's big here. It's like, you think it's something just started growing on, or it's been here for a while? Because I don't remember this lucha libre, in my experience, it's been, I noticed like maybe a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And then it's becoming more popular in different venues. Now you see in the rickshaw, World Rough, and you probably know more about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lucha wrestling, lucha libre wrestling is... It's really become a lot more popular, especially the last few years. You know, if you go back 20 years ago, people were like, lucha libre, why would, you know, like even the guy that trained me, Cobra Kai, you know, he went to Mexico to train to the lucha style. And everyone was like, why are you going to Mexico? And he's just like, because, like, this is great. And, you know, it's taken a while, but now, certainly Vancouver, I can't speak about anywhere else, but here it's very popular. People love the lucha style of wrestling. Like, I love the lucha style. It's so much more action-packed, it's a lot more fast-paced, they tell their story in a different way, and I definitely enjoy it. But it's like we just did that whole weekend of Lucha Libre Spectacular Cinco Tablos. It was awesome. We had two days of sold-out shows of over 600 people in the crowd both days. It was just, you know, they love their lucha wrestling, they love their tacos, they love their mariachi bands. It was just amazing.
Mexican lucha libre Canadian, or it's like why the tacos?
Yeah, we had,
because it's a different technique. Now you mentioned this, one of your trainers went down to Mexico, and it's like things a lot of fighters do. They go, you know, depends on the technique, they go to Thailand or like Mexico, or like lucha libre boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came back with that influence, and it's like how this, because that is big, it's very popular in Mexico City.
Yeah. Here in Canada, like at the time, you kind of dealt with like the WWE or the WWF, the Vince McMahon's wrestling, right? Which is like these huge people, you know, 7 feet tall, 300 pounds, like, you know, And that's what a lot of people knew what wrestling was, right? But not everyone's these larger, these huge framed people, right? So if you, so you look at like in Mexico, they have like this lucha style libre, or like, well, you obviously, you know, right? But it's a lot of a smaller person, right? People that are more average size, like our size, that can do different flips and stuff. So it's just right. a different style. Yeah. Because yeah, before it was all like big tough wrestling or big tough guys, you know, and then you go other places and not everyone has to be as big. They can be a lot more smaller and athletic. And like even when Rey Mysterio Jr. came into the WWF, right? He was the small guy. He was the smallest guy. He looked like a kid next to these guys. And he went in, he started doing these flips and hurricanranas and, you know, and we're all like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, who's this guy, you know? So it was...
He did it with a mask on?
Yeah, he still... Yeah, he did it with the mask on. He still has the mask on. He took it off for a couple of years, which... But anyways, but yeah, he has got the mask on now. But yeah, it's great because even like you can go to Japan and they have a different style of wrestling and it's completely unique to their own. And it's nice because, you know, it shows you that just because you... If you love this sport like I do, you don't have to be a particular body type. You just need to learn a certain style of wrestling. And you can go to different areas in the world and find this different style of wrestling that better fits, you know, who you are as an individual and what your athletic needs are. So,
yeah, you can mix or get different techniques. It's like some fighters, they use like more kicks or like...
You got like chain wrestling, you got the fundamental. Like there's just so much more that you can do. It's not just like big tough guys throwing each other around. It's a lot of, you know, flippy shit, as we tend to say sometimes.
Yeah. Have you heard about this Canadian wrestler Vampiro Canadiense?
Vampiro?
Yeah. He was huge in Mexico. He was a rock star. He's from Canada. He's a tall guy, like you mentioned it, and his style was very unique, and he was a rock star there. He shot a movie, he was dating celebrities, and you know, oh, Canadian guy, blue eyes, so cute, and that was a popular, and they did a documentary in the Rio Theater not long ago, and he was there.
Oh yeah,
he was telling the story, the life, because he's been, I don't know, it's, now he's retired, and telling the stories, and it's like he how really got hurt in like in fights, and it's not a lot of people think this, like, oh, that is this is a lot of fake things, but that the blood, the bruises, they're real, right?
The best way to summarize wrestling, professional wrestling, that is there are things that are real, there are things that are fake, and there are things that are fabricated. It's us as performers to blur those lines. So you never really know which is fake, which is real, which is being fabricated. You know, and that's kind of what you do. If you can just kind of suspend your belief for 1 second and just ignore... You know, like what they're doing in that ring is very, very impressive, you know. So it's just kind of like, but yeah, it is real. Like gravity is real. You're going to fall. It's
very
gonna
real.
Bruise.
It's not like it's a hologram. It's like real. They take a lot of training sometimes, you know, because it's not about fighting hurt, you know, the opponent is trying to make some techniques and win and trying to don't hurt anyone, right? It's not like...
Yeah, you don't really want to... Yeah, it sucks. But yeah, accidents happen all the time. You know, I think the third match that I was in, the first night that I ever was a referee, in the match that I was in, one guy dislocated his shoulder, and another lady, she hit her head, and, so you know exactly what it's all about. Yeah, she hit her head, and she got knocked out and got concussed, and, you know, this was the first night that I was refereeing. You know, and so you can say that wrestling's fake all you want, but, you know,
so
stuff like this really happens.
A good start, you think, for you? It's like...
It was my first wrestling, like you never know what you're going to get. You know, you think you're going for one thing when you go into that ring and something completely happens and, you know, things don't always go as planned. And yeah, it was definitely, I definitely got thrown into the deep end my first night refereeing, but you know, it was kind of, besides people getting hurt, I was kind of glad that I was presented with a bunch of problems, and I knew that I could solve them safely, and that, you know, I could make sure that I could take care of the performers that were there until, you know, the proper people got there and stuff like that, right? So, but yeah, it was definitely
it was a good learning, no?
It was. That is love. That was at the rickshaw. That was at the rickshaw in front of, you know, like, I can't remember how many people were there, but they were, it was
well, they can fit around, like, 600.
Yeah, we can fit, yeah, I think it's 550.
Legally.
Yeah, we can fit about 550 people in that rickshaw theater, and that's one of my favorite shows to do is when we're doing it at the rickshaw with WrestleCore.
It's also one of my favorite venues.
Yeah,
it's like so good, the venue. Well, we're going, regresamos con más de Vancouver Hispano, y voy a tratar de traducir todo esto que acabamos de platicar. Ya lo anoté todo, no se me olvidó. We'll be back in a few minutes. Regresamos, póngase a gusto, que apenas esto apenas se va a poner bueno. Quiero mandar un saludo hasta Chiapas para la gente que nos está escuchando allá en el Cañón del Sumidero. También para Francisco Cano. A toda la gente, a toda la fauna por allá. Jaguares, fieras. También saludos para New West, que nos está escuchando ahí, Lester. El vino solo, saludos. Y también vamos a mandar saludos hasta Whistler, que nos están escuchando por allá. Bueno, regresamos, esto es Vancouver Hispano. Mi nombre es Alejandro Chapa. Nos encuentran en las redes sociales como Vancouver Hispano. Y regresamos muy pronto.
En mi cielo mi mariposa aleteó, se volvió loca. Mira, mira, viene el sol amarillo como la yema. En mi cielo se ve una flor llena de miel, nos saluda. ¿Qué te pasa mi mariposa? En tu amor no veo nada.